Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, the best-selling Irish single malt in the U.S. The Sexton is an unexpected modern malt for the everyman, rich in hue, approachable in taste, and memorable in character. Learn more at thesexton.com.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup. This week, we're celebrating Pride. We speak to the bakers who created a custom wedding cake for Charlie Craig and David Mullins, the couple behind the Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court case.
We felt that what happened to Charlie and David was an absolute injustice.
Kat Johnson addresses the controversy surrounding Anthony Porosky, Queer Eye's food and wine expert.
Many viewers thought these recipes were unsophisticated.
And finally, Hannah Forden speaks with nutrition educator Leah Kurtz about the relationship between veganism and queer identity.
It's an interesting way in which food can challenge invisible value systems even greater than sexuality does.
Listen to Meat and Three, that's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E, this week, and celebrate Pride with HRN. Available on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and your favorite listening apps.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And I'm Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther.
How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm great. I'm having a great week. Wow.
It's been awesome so far. BCB.
Holy crap. There's everything. Last week was Negroni week. Negronis. That was so last week. Right?
Literally.
Right?
Yes, Negronis were so last week.
Yeah.
But this week, it's BCB.
And BCB.
We kicked it off right here at Roberta's with the Sexton Irish Whiskey Backyard Bash that we had with whole roasted pigs and a never-ending stream of pizza from Roberta's, a live band.
Great DJ.
Copper everything.
A few bars.
A couple of bars, some delicious drinks.
Dale DeGroff couldn't get in.
Dale DeGroff was not allowed in.
He got in. I really wish he would have like pulled the "Do you know who the fuck I am" card.
It's not his style.
It's not his style.
He stood outside. I saw him and I was like, what's Dale doing outside?
The guy can get into any door with his smile.
He can.
Literally.
Except apparently past our security.
Which was
plentiful.
Plentiful. Yeah. It was a big party.
I think it was a lot bigger than either of us expected it to
be. So for all the listeners out there, next time we invite you to a party, fucking show up.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a great time. And that pig. Oh, delicious.
Oh, man, it was so good. Yeah, the Roberta's Guru just like...
I kind of begged for the ear. I was like, I know there's only two.
Did you never get one?
No, I got one.
Oh, you did?
Crunchy, delicious, salty. Yeah. She was like, the ears are, you know, because when you roast the pig, the ears don't quite get so crisp. She goes, let me cut them off and put them in the pizza oven.
In the wood-fired pizza oven, yeah.
So they got like nice and crispy.
Dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was pick it up and say, can you hear me now?
Is this thing on?
No. Oh,
it's off.
So yeah, we did that, and then BCB is in town, so lots of stuff is going on.
There's a lot of people in town, like from all over the world. You know,
literally the world, like, yeah.
The very first Bar Convent Brooklyn.
Sure, we had Angus on last week to tell us all about it, mm-hmm. and now it's happening right before our eyes.
Yeah.
And it is. I have to assume that maybe it's bigger than he even expected.
I've seen a lot of folks. I was there yesterday all day, and it took me forever just to get through the first building. I only saw the first building in like the little outdoor area. Not little, it's a big outdoor area with a bunch of food trucks and stuff like that. I didn't make it past halfway through the that yard before it was time to shut it down and go, you know, to some of the after parties and stuff. There's a whole other building that I haven't even seen yet.
Here's the crazy thing. I'm not even going to get to go to any of it. I'm doing so many events because of it that I'm not going to go to it at all.
I know. There's a lot going on. You know, like there's a lot of people.
Last night I was at PDT with Banks Rum, Stilo Pimentel, and Jim Meehan. Jim got behind the bar. It was great. It was great. He stood up and said, "He said Banks asked me to find a guest bartender to get behind the bar." And he said, "Well, I haven't bartended behind this bar since 2010, so I'll get behind the bar and be the guest."
Amazing.
So Jim made us some
good
drinks.
On him.
Yeah, and lots of folks were there. It was a packed house. And then I went straight from there, actually, to Amore Margo, where we did an event with Fernet Branco, where we called it the Global Fernet Toast. Where at 10 o'clock, everybody in the room went on their Instagram Live, and we all had a Facebook or Instagram. Shot a Fernet together, and folks who weren't at the bar, so it was, the notion was we were trying to get as many people in the bar, even though they weren't in the bar, that have ever been at the bar. I don't know.
Nice.
It was kind of goofy. It was fun. And then today, I'm doing the show with you, of course, and then I go to, I'm supposed to go to the Broken Shaker, although it's a little rainy, and they're up on a rooftop, so who knows, for a Jägermeister event. Then I come back to Brooklyn, and I'm bartending at Clover Club. Then I go back to New York and into Manhattan, and I've got an event with Nickel City from Austin at Mind Bar, Blue Quarter. Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's kind of, I mean, you're a very busy person, so I know you can handle it, but it's not like a lot to handle. But you know what I will say about the BCB so far is that in the Brooklyn Expo Center, which is very nice, that all the booths, like, they're, like, really... well done. They're very architecturally like set up, and like
expect nothing less from BCB.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought and like actual passion like behind like the whole setup and everything. And there's plenty of like room to move around and it doesn't feel too crowded or anything. It's like it's a very nice vibe in there.
Have you been to BarComet Berlin?
I have not.
Nor have I. I think we should go.
Let's get Heritage Radio Network to send us out there.
I think they'll give us a Zoom to take with us.
Well, I can do you one better. I'll give you an engineer.
Hey.
Hey. All right.
It's the Speakeasy Roadshow.
Yeah, we can put them in the overhead.
Sweet.
All right, let's get into the show, man.
Absolutely. From Washington, D.C., not a terribly long trip, a couple hours. Did you take the train when you get up here?
Took the train, yeah.
Yeah, that's the
just
smartest,
over three.
Smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
We've got Kat Hamidi from Capitoline Vermouth. Down there.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks
Welcome
for having
show.
Me. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for sharing your time with me.
So you didn't, I asked you if you were doing anything for BCB and you looked at me a little puzzled. You didn't even know about it.
No, I didn't even know about
it. Which is shocking.
I know.
So
I'm
so close
out
by.
Of the loop. I know, it's strange.
Well, but you've admitted that you're sort of in a different part now, right? You're not behind the bar. You're not sort of on the ground.
Yeah, not behind the bar anymore and really focusing on all things Capital Line and DC mainly and growing outside of our market. So I should have my finger more on the pulse, I guess. But one thing that I missed was, BCB here.
That's all right. It's the first year. You'll get it next year.
Yeah.
But so you came up just for us.
I came up for you. Yeah. Yeah. Just for you guys. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
I'll squeeze in some other fun things, meals and drinks and friends. But yeah, mainly for this.
Yeah. Awesome. How are you going to stay in town?
That's sweet. Came in yesterday. I leave tomorrow on a later train. So,
okay.
Yeah. Pretty quick trip.
Pretty quick. You got to get back and take care of business down there.
Full production day on Friday, yeah.
So it's a kind of an overcast, a little bit drizzly day here, but you brought us some Americanos made with one of your vermouths. Let's talk about that first, and then we're going to back up.
Two of our products, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Then we're going to back up and talk about how you got to where you are today.
They're still last week.
So
this week it's all about Americanos.
I figured, we can do something a little lower ABV today.
So what am I, I'll pour
I
this,
definitely
I'll
touch
pour
on
this
that,
part. What am I pouring right here?
So what you have, we started as a vermouth company. It's slightly confusing. The first three products that we put out over the last 3 years are vermouth. That's really where the passion project began. But since then, we've now tried our hand at our aperitivo, which is called Tiber. This is a, Italian style, bitter, spirit-based aperitivo. So rather than wine-based, but in that same kind of family. So rather than using the classic Campari and Italian sweet vermouth, we're using our iteration, which is spirit-based with tons of bittering agents, citrus, and spice.
You're speaking my language.
Yes, indeed. You've got wormwood, rhubarb root, gentian, and cinchona bark. So quite a bit of bittering action going on, quite a bit of citrus spice, spirit-based, and then our rosé vermouth, which is essentially sweet vermouth, rosé wine-based sweet vermouth that we make in D.C.
This is really cool. I really love the artwork on the label. I'm a Thank sucker you. For design.
Amazing. That's a watercolor that we had done for us custom.
It's super like psychedelic, which I'm really tripping on.
It's right pretty now. Literal. All of those yeah, things that you see exist, yeah. if not in all of the bottlings and some of the bottlings. And there's a tree there. That's the...
Wait, there's a snake
There's
in
a
it?
Snake, yeah. That's my business partners.
What are you playing, Where's Waldo over there?
No, there's a snake there's in literally the Tiber. A snake.
Yeah. Oh. There is no snake in the Tiber. That would be the one thing that okay. does it. So far, we don't have snakes in the booze that we
We'll
make.
Get there.
Never say never. Never say never. Ooh, Americano, so refreshing.
Yeah, I just poured Americanos for all of us. Okay. Oh, is that a snake sound?
It's a snake sound.
Dave, I made one for
Gosh,
you, too.
Incredible.
Can we get it, Dave? Stop messing around with the Foley art.
Hey, I think there's something in the studio.
There's a snake in my boots.
Oh, man. Too many snakes in this motherfucking studio. Can I say that?
Yeah,
here's either one.
Yeah, Take I'm one. Just going to let that one ride.
So this looks gorgeous.
All right.
Americano cheers. Style. Cheers, everybody. I can't reach way over there.
Well, cheers.
Cheers to you. Here, I'll do it with this. There we go.
Perfect. Oh. Perfect.
I'll do it with my other drink. It both sound very right. cool.
So that's delightful. You were bartending, and you've been born and reared all in and around D.C. all your life.
That's right.
Never lived anywhere else.
Always lived there, yeah. I would say sad but true, but it's a great city. So
it is a great city.
Yeah, delighted to live there.
I used to live there.
Yeah. I've lived in D.C. my whole life, and I worked many, many years in restaurants, and that's actually where this project was born, was in many years ago working with my business partner, Peter Paston, who's a chef restaurateur in D.C., we started this pretty humble, low-key cocktail program years ago at a restaurant called Obelisk. And at that point, we were making everything in-house that we could. I mean, the restaurant was the kind of place where we made our house-made butter and pasta and bread, et cetera. So that same ethos kind of spilled over into the beverage program where we were making Nocino and laurel leaf liqueur and limoncello, things that were a little more straightforward. Nocino, not so straightforward.
Sure,
right. A
couple of major failures in the Nocino land before we got it right.
And what, you were leading that charge? You were behind the bar?
Yeah, I was behind the bar. It's a very small trattoria that's 11 tables and very intimate. And the bar itself is actually a 3-seat bar. So it's sort of just a really small cocktail program that we started.
Sure.
Italio-centric, Amaro-based, vermouth-based. A lot of low ABV stuff. And it all started there. We decided after kind of trying, we were making, like I said, Nocinos and cellos and things like that. And one day decided we thought we'd try our hand at vermouth production, all intended just for in-house consumption. And that's how it went for a few years.
So what year was this? Like what time?
2000, I want to say it was 2007.
So this is really early on in the kind of
in
like
the craft
low
game, sure. Well, in that, yeah, but in also
but
in
also
just
the craft,
the making your own stuff game. Like craft, of course, was, you know, sprang around in mid to late 90s, but then like, oh, not only can I make craft cocktails, I can make the components themselves.
Totally.
Right. That came along a little bit later, but this is kind of in the beginning of that, I think.
Pretty early. I will say that I think, you know, the inspiration for a lot of it is my business partner, Peter, who always sort of did things in a way that were not on trend. And this restaurant existed in 1987 in D.C. The dining scene was very different than it is now. Not exactly as sophisticated or, you know, it was sort of a rough go opening a restaurant like that in the beginning. And so he certainly inspired me and has been a mentor to me for many years.
So the restaurant still exists?
Obelisk still exists.
Since
1987. 1987 it opened.
That's a long run.
In the same sort of
in a major city.
I think
anywhere, but.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the meal there at that point, it's a 5-course tasting. Like I said, everything made in-house was like $32 or something. It's pretty wild. And it's not that much more expensive now. It's like $100 for one of the best meals in the city, if not the best meal in the city. But
very cool.
Yeah.
And so you started making this stuff just for in-house use.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, of course, what happens every time is people start gathering around and say things like, this is amazing. You should bottle it.
Good.
Can I buy some of this from you?
Yeah.
But I will say in 07, 08, 09, up until really recently, vermouth specifically, people didn't know what it was. I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of conversation around it.
They
well,
still
what is
don't.
They still don't. No, believe me, as a vermouth maker, I field those questions all the time. Mainly either what is vermouth or I don't like vermouth. And I like that question or I like that statement a lot because then I have the opportunity then to change your mind
totally.
On the spot, right? I don't like vermouth. Why is that? And most people just go, you know, I just don't.
Meaning more, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, or it's something that I've been told by my parents, my grandparents, that you don't need in your drink, or you need very little of it, or wave it over the glass.
Yeah, that influence of like some failed, like experiences with just life in general. You know, like that's pretty heavy. Like we talk about vermouth quite a bit on this show, don't we?
You do, because we like
it.
Thank you.
Like it.
And the thing is, we, especially you coming from a culinary background, I feel like vermouth and like wine based spirits, they kind of come from. It makes sense that you base a program on that because I don't know. I have this weird connection with like food. I mean, obviously, well, food and wine.
We all do.
Yeah.
But like, I think vermouth is just kind of like the next step into just like adding, you know, like you've got all these different ingredients that you're infusing into the actual vermouth, and it all comes. You can find all those in pretty much every kitchen, you know,
right,
like
for
when
sure.
You're going there.
And it's quite literal in this case.
Kind of what happened,
we
right?
We did that. Yeah, we know. Okay, so it's aromatized fortified wine, mm-hmm. right? So we're fortifying with neutral spirit because that's what we had available to us, right? And otherwise, everything in that first iteration when we first experimented with making vermouth were available on hand. And that we had an herb garden in the back and an alley and a DC alley. We had a little, you know, really humble, again, is a word that I'll use, rosemary and thyme and marjoram and mint, two different kinds of mint and whatever was laying around. And spice that you would have on a shelf like cardamom and things like that all went into the spirit. And we just really were winging it at that point. But
you're just fucking around and having fun.
And ultimately, really, it's not that vastly different 10 years later on market as a product that we make. That different. Yeah, it's different. We don't use Everclear anymore.
Right. You refined your approach.
We refined it. Yeah, we figured out what worked
but
and what didn't.
The approach is still the same.
It's the same approach.
A little cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
And we also, you know, we use pretty thoughtful, well-sourced wine. So not the same animal, a little bit more thoughtful and, yeah, polished.
So I kind of want to talk about this for a second. You know, we talk about vermouth quite a bit on the show because we love it, and I think Southern and I, and of course you, obviously, we're all big champions of vermouth. Big supporters. Like we tend to really push the idea. I mean, obviously, you have a bitters bar, a 240 yeah. square foot bitters bar. Mm-hmm. I remember that number now.
Thank you.
I used to say 214, but you know,
it makes it sound even
nobody
tougher.
Likes that. Yeah.
Diminutized.
My bathroom's bigger than your bar.
That's a gigantic bathroom. Wow. Well, where do you live, New Jersey?
I have a bar.
I have a hot tub.
Yeah.
But I think the idea of for instance, like Amore Margo having so many different types of Amari and vermouth, you know, these are things that weren't necessarily so much in the consumer's mind in the United States for a very long time because
up
they
until
just
very recently,
didn't understand
I would say,
them,
yeah, for
you know?
Sure.
And also, I mean, you know, we can blame everything on
prohibition
as much as we
sure.
want, you know,
and but, World War II, yeah. I mean, there's
yeah,
historical.
Totally. I mean, yeah, but the thing is, when it comes to vermouth and Amari and those different types of categories, I think really what's happening right now, more than just like the idea of wanting to figure out more about what these kind of weird things are, these vermouths that, like, apparently you were just supposed to, like, look at when you're making a martini and never touch.
Right.
I think the idea of, like, low ABV drinking is, I know it's really big right now. And there are whole, like, sections of menus. There are bars that just base their whole programs on it.
There are several books.
I think that's here.
Several
books
that have recently come out within the last 2 years that are focused on the notion of lower ABV drinking.
Session drinking. That's
yeah,
what it's
all
about.
That's the name of the book, actually. Yeah. There's one book that just came out called Session Drinks.
Yeah, Session
there's
Drinks.
There's The Shim.
There's a Spritz book.
Spritz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, have you noticed... I mean, you must have noticed a big change, obviously, as far as like the production of your brand and your spirit, your vermouth. But have you noticed much change happening? For instance, like I know, like we always talk about this as well. Like we live in certain like little cocktail bubbles.
Yeah.
You know, have you noticed any of that change occurring in different like kind of like satellite cities?
I mean, I can certainly speak on DC and DC culture. We Capital Line went to market in 2015. We're just actually next week, I think, is our 3-year anniversary.
Oh, no.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm very on the ground there. I not only do production and all the business ownership side, but I also am doing all the sales in DC. So I'm very on the ground, and I can say that the consumer, be it on or off prem, if you're talking to a bar owner or someone running a program, or you're talking to somebody at the farmer's market where we can sell booze in DC, which is pretty great.
Cool. Wow, that is cool.
This is our second year, so on the sidewalk in front of the Portrait Gallery in DC, and wow, slinging booze every week.
Really want
to
awesome.
Swing by? Yeah, it's pretty great. So I can speak to my city at least that these things have dramatically changed.
I just want to say real quick, that's the capital of our fucking nation.
Yeah,
and you can do it there.
Yeah,
why can't you do it everywhere else?
Yeah.
I think that the farmer's market lobby...
I totally agree.
Is the government listening to the show right now?
No, please listen. No, they're not. This is the show they're listening to.
Yes. I'm going to get up on my soapbox and talk about how America is great.
America
but it could be better.
Guess what?
Vermouth,
it could be better.
Tax dollars. Every city pays attention to that.
Yeah.
Wow, this is...
Follow the money.
I'm getting a little emotional.
I'm kind of crying right now.
Oh, that's the booze. Never mind.
Give me vermouth or give me death.
I have vermouth. I'm going to give you vermouth.
Mostly vermouth.
We have some right here. Yeah.
So, yes, I think that the tides have turned in a way. And I can say, certainly speaking to the consumer, which I love, like I said before, I love when people tell me they don't like vermouth or they're not interested in vermouth. And having the opportunity to taste them on something, it's not for everybody. It's really not. I mean, it is relatively niche. I know that very well. I started a vermouth company because I never want to retire.
That's why I opened a bar.
That's why we do what we do, right?
Never clock out. Like,
yes, exactly. But speaking to the non-industry consumer and having those conversations and kind of changing minds is incredibly gratifying. It's a lot of fun to turn somebody onto something that they have a preconceived notion about, which is really, even in our industry, even in food and beverage, people up until recently had a preconceived notion about vermouth, right?
Of course.
So that's certainly changing. I don't think it's a trend. I really think that it has staying power because...
I do. I agree. I don't think it's... Yeah. It may be trending, but it's not going to go away.
I think it's trending, but
it's only going to get stronger. You know, it's like education. You can't unring the bell. Once people are educated, they can't go backwards.
Yeah. I always say that quality is not a trend.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the thing about like making quality like vermouths, You know, these aren't your run-of-the-mill, just like, I'm not going to name any names.
Careful
now.
Yeah. Right. No, it's not your mass production, bulk Trebbiano wine that's grown on the side of a road in Italy somewhere. And it's, it's a very different experience. It's craft versus anything else.
Yeah, totally. And these are the kind of vermouth that you would, to me, when I think about vermouth and the way you drink it, like classically, it's like drinking on its own, maybe like as a, like a highball.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Vermouth and soda. I'm in.
Vermouth and soda, vermouth and tonic.
Yeah.
Just vermouth on the rocks. Super there.
If you had, I'm not going to name names, the Voldemort of vermouths.
I can picture it.
Bello Patronus.
Yes.
Anyway, so, but look, if you had those, then no shit, you would think that like the vermouth sucked and you shouldn't be in your martini.
Whether or not you think that it sucks, because I don't, those are the workhorses and they're out there. Whether or not you think they suck, you probably aren't thinking to yourself, this is great.
Right. It's a space filler for a lot of that's, it's cocktails, a placeholder. Unfortunately.
But
it's
the placeholder. Only fucking country that thinks that way about vermouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Well, we have
dumb
cultural
bit,
things
that
made us think this way. Don't put any vermouth in your martini.
Right. Like, part of the issue, too, is mishandling a product, obviously. I mean, you guys know that.
It's a wine.
You can't leave something
refrigerated.
Please. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
You say that again.
Refrigerated.
Thank you.
Sexy.
It really was.
So sexy.
Those two words have never been said in a more appealing way. it's the mishandling. That's another problem. It's not just that you have mass-produced vermouth that is not necessarily compelling or interesting. It might not taste bad necessarily,
exactly.
Right?
That's the point I'm trying to
make. Not inspired by
it. But that it's been mishandled.
Then you mishandle it. You leave it on a shelf for
And then when you talk about cocktails that involve vermouth and people who want to put less and less in there, a ham and cheese sandwich is not a ham and cheese sandwich if there's no cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's got to be
it's
there.
It's not a martini.
It's just a ham sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I guess, okay. we should take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll come right back and keep talking to Kat Hamidi from Capital Line Vermouth.
All right.
We'll be right back. is the story of men and women who shed not only their clothes, but also their...
I'm Souther Teague of Moria Margo and co-host of The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. This episode is brought to you by the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, a new and unexpected modern malt for the everyman. The whiskey is made from 100% Irish malted barley, triple distilled for smoothness in copper pot stills, and consciously aged for 4 years in Oloroso sherry butts. My favorite part about the Sexton is that sherry influence from those Oloroso sherry butts. They're the large sherry barrels that have been used. And then the whiskey gets aged in them for 4 years, giving them this sort of nutty, almost savory quality. The copper pot still makes for an extremely smooth finish. I like it in a highball or just neat. Every time I have a sip, I want another one. So next time you're gathered with friends or posted up at your favorite bar, reach for the Sexton, the best-selling Irish single malt in North America. You can learn more at thesexton.com.
It sounded good on that drop.
Hey, man, thanks. That was me making some Sexton on the rocks.
Yeah, man.
Here at the studio bar.
It sounded real sexy.
It was super sexy.
Sextony.
Hey.
Hi.
The Sextony.
.com.
.com. All right, we're back with Kat Hamidi from Capitoline Vermouth down in Washington, D.C. We're drinking some delicious Americanos made with both your products. You also have a sort of a bitter that you make.
Yes, indeed.
Which is called Tiber, right?
That's right.
This is delicious. Agree, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
I just burst into the studio during the break to exclaim about how delicious it was.
He actually did. You. That's the truth.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Thank you.
And you have... Okay, we've talked a little bit about this Americano or a couple times. Tell us about the other... like. We've talked about the idea of vermouth and like production from the start from the restaurant and everything. Why don't you run us through the different marks?
Through your line, yeah.
The three different products.
Sure, yeah. What do you got?
So,
I see white, rosé, and dry.
White, rosé, dry. So really, the first two products, we so in restaurant setting, years go by after Obelisk, we talked about the restaurant. Peter and I opened another restaurant together. I was running his beverage program, the bar and wine program there called Eto, which is a really special place in D.C. We were making tons of different sorts of vermouth, dry vermouth, different wine bases, different fortification, different recipes, Chianti, all sorts of things. And I was working behind the bar, managing from behind the bar. And so as we were continue to make house-made products, I was pouring them in my program and got to talk to my customers about what we were doing and incorporating them into cocktails. And so it was essentially, you know, like the whole public was my sort of sounding board for everything that I was doing. And so when we decided to go to market, part of it was that the first two products that we put out to market were the white vermouth and rosé vermouth were so well received by the folks that were coming into the restaurant. That was part of the impetus. These people were getting a lot of pleasure out of drinking them on their own. That was the idea. So we have a white vermouth, and that's, you know, in a Blanc Bianco style. It's bittersweet, white wine-based vermouth. And the rosé vermouth. So stylistically, they're sort of similar in that they're sweeter style vermouth, sipping vermouths that you would have classic kind of Spanish style on their own, on ice, with a little bit of seltzer.
Yes.
It's the way to do it. Yeah, you know, it's the easiest cocktail that you can make, right? You pour it out of a bottle and ice. And
you know, when I give talks and classes and people ask me what vermouth is, I have this little spiel that I do. You know, I'm always trying to, like, engage my audience by tricking them a little. Right, so I'll say.
I like that. Go on.
So I'm going to do it really briefly, but I'll say, listen, vermouth is an aromatized fortified wine. I say if you stop at the wine shop on your way home from work tonight, and you pick up a bottle of table wine, and then you swing by the grocery store and you pick up some herbs and some citrus fruit and maybe a pear, and then you swing by the liquor store and you pick up some brandy, and you go home and you add all of the wine and you cut up the fruit and the herbs and you add some of the brandy, what have you made? And the crowd usually goes, vermouth. And I go, well, you made sangria. But you're real close cousins.
Yeah, you know.
Right, so that's
not
the notion.
Wrong. Not so wrong.
So when people come into my bar and say, I'll have a glass of wine, and I'll say, we don't have wine, but I have vermouth, they look a little off-put. But then I say, do you like sangria? What sort of wine do you drink? I've got 16 or more vermouths on hand. I'm sure I can appease you in some way.
I love that.
Most of the time they just say, well, just give me a Manhattan.
But but you tried. You did your part.
I do my part.
There's still vermouth in that, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about the the category of like vermouth and aromatized wines, it's like you really, I typically get people in with like a Barolo Cognato.
Sure.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's Barolo, but yeah, it's got stuff in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm like, it's a Barolo cocktail.
Now check out this vermouth.
Fascinating. Because I think that's not the gateway aromatized wine, but I'm glad that that's your angle and I support your angle. But I think it's sort of looks like an advanced.
Oh, no. Wines.
Whatever it takes. Yeah, whatever it takes. The sangria experiment, the
sherry. Like
yeah, anything, please. You know. Right. Yeah.
I also want to point out it's a unique thing to the martini that people say less and less and less vermouth. No one's ever said, give me a Manhattan with very little. Rinse my glass with
reverse
vermouth.
Reverse Manhattan.
That's so
let's
good.
Do that. Let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that every once in a while, a reverse Manhattan. But also,
I get reverses all the time, but I've never had anyone ever, have you, say to me, just rinse my glass with vermouth for my
Manhattan.
Like you do for
never.
A martini.
You know?
No, never.
That's
never.
Such a good
this is
point.
The one, this is one that really
mind-blowing.
Fucks my mind up. When someone comes in, they order a Gibson. They never
say anything
ever
about the vermouth.
Say
yeah.
anything about the vermouth.
Right, but when they order a martini, they
they're
do.
Like, no, yeah,
unique,
dry.
The difference between a Gibson and a martini is basically it's the garnish.
Garnish,
and now
and bitters. Like, frankly, I don't.
Okay,
I don't bitter
no,
my Gibson.
Enough. Same, same.
Okay,
but that's a yeah.
But
that's
I'm
a
like,
seasoning
that's
a
kind of like visually
right?
and classically what you're thinking about when you want a martini or a Gibson. Like when you order a Gibson. You want the fucking cocktail.
You're
on
kind
you.
Of blowing my mind right now. What? Why is that?
No idea. Mind blown.
Yeah. No. Really.
Like when I go to Keen's every Monday for lunch, and I order a Gibson.
Why do you not call me? I'm off on Mondays. You go every Monday?
Rude.
I know you go a lot.
We talked about this before
Monday?
The show. I'm a letter writer.
Oh, you go there and write letters?
I'll write you a letter.
Or you're
going
to send
you.
Him a letter to invite him.
Some correspondence documents.
We can sit at separate places on the bar. I'll give you the wave.
Monday, Keen's, you want to do it?
Absolutely.
You're in town?
I'll have to look at my
calendar.
Are
you at Tiki by the Sea?
No, I'm not going to that. Are you?
I think so.
You were supposed to. You talked about it.
Okay, so maybe we'll go Wednesday before the show.
Well, that'd be a hell of a day.
You guys are so cute.
All right, well, we'll talk about
have
this
offline.
Have
you seen that photo of us on the Sexton where we're looking into each other's eyes?
Oh,
it's adorable.
God.
No, but you
I missed
described
that.
It to me in great detail God. Earlier.
Yes, I did.
Do me a favor. As a thank you, will you send me that framed to my home address?
Done.
Yeah, post, done.
Poster I would sized. Really like that.
But no, the thing is, like, when I order a Gibson, like...
Yeah. You just take it as is, right?
I take it as... But I also am a big fan of vermouth. So, yeah. Like, I don't want to... I want you to make me your Gibson.
Yeah, however you make it.
However you make it. I don't care. Because I want a gin martini.
You're right.
With,
you know,
with a cocktail.
I have always noticed
or five. As
they
do
the martini.
I like olives and onions. I like to double it.
I've always it's soup and salad. I call that. I've always noticed the folks ask for less vermouth in their martini. They've never asked for less vermouth in their Manhattan.
No, it's
and
fascinating.
You're right. I'm now that I'm rolling through my mind. No one's ever said a word about
You've
a Gibson.
You've never had an order for a dry Gibson.
Yeah, can you make my Gibson extra dry? Just wave the bottle of vermouth over
the
top.
No one gets fussy about the fucking Gibson.
Because the Gibson is great. You know, the Gibson is hidden in my personal logo. Not hidden. It's there, but like, it's kind of subtle. I don't think I realized until maybe
you have only one personal logo.
A number two. One. That can we see like the logo? Can you show me the logo?
Yeah, I can show it to you.
Yeah.
You guys keep talking. I'm looking at my logo.
But no, seriously. Like, okay, do you like Gibson cocktails?
I love a Gibson cocktail. I love onions in essentially any form. I love vermouth and I love gin. So you put them all in the same place.
And onions.
I'm on board. Man. I'm also a 1-to-1 martini drinker.
Yeah, you like a 50-50?
Partially,
me too.
Partially because I'm a vermouth maker.
Same.
So,
well, not
you know.
That part, but.
Also, like we were talking about before,
because I don't
want to
be
drinking.
Wrecked after a martini. Yeah. Where's
that's
the onion?
Gibson right in between my...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Nice. Look at that.
All right. Well, you'll have to post that so
I'll post
the
it on the.
Get,
I'll post it on the...
Post it so the people can see.
The new Speakeasy Podcast Instagram. Please go look at that.
50-50 martini.
50-50. Make it soft. Make it tasty. Make it herbaceous. And put a fucking onion in it.
Yeah. Totally. Put a fucking onion in it.
Put a fucking onion in it.
However, I will say this. I'm a stickler about
Dave,
that
that's
onion.
That's the title of this show today.
Put a fucking onion in it.
Done and done.
I am a stickler about the onion. When I go and I ask for a Gibson, if I want one, I'll say to whoever.
Can I see your garnish tray?
I don't say can I see it, but I say I look at the bartender and I say, look, just answer me honestly. Do you have a good onion for a Gibson?
Yeah, fair
enough.
And
I think they know what I mean.
Yeah, fair enough.
If it's those little rinky dinks that are kind of squishy.
Not squishy. Rinky dink is fine if it's firm
if it's
and
crunchy.
It's super pickly. Yeah, yeah.
Rinky dink is fine if it's firm.
Oh fuck.
Subtitle to the show. All right.
Yeah, I just said that. Well, what are you gonna do?
All right. Off the Gibson and back to vermouth. Let's talk about vermouth some more.
Okay.
You got three marks.
We got three marks.
You got a dry, a white, which is a Bianco, and your rosé. But yes. You don't make a sweet.
Well, no, they are sweet. That's the thing. The white and the rosé are both sweet vermouth.
Sure.
I don't categorize. Agreed. Yeah, we don't categorize in this very specific way. We identify them by their wine base, not necessarily by the sugar, the sweetness level. Sure. Right. And the dry was really born of two things. We released the white and the rosé, and they existed for a couple years before. We had been working on other recipes, of course, simultaneously. But before we released our third product, which is the dry, we were getting calls from bartenders in D.C. for dry vermouth. When are you guys going to make a dry? Do you have a dry in the works? People wanted that. So we, of course, had many different recipes for dry vermouth, and this is one that really, this is Peter's kind of passion bottling. It's pretty avant-garde, pretty out there dry. I feel like maybe that's the one we should pop and try. It's pretty weird.
Pop it open.
Yeah, made with,
pass me that wine key.
Which one is it? This one?
So again, all the bittering agents in the world, fresh artichoke. It kind of lives in the land between an Amaro and a vermouth, and it's pretty out there, but super delicious.
I'm realizing as I'm opening this bottle, Dave, I don't know where any of the glasses went when we cleaned up from the party the other day.
I'm going to have to hit it out of the bottle.
Can you grab it? Oh, we can just do
that. This place is still a mess.
We broke all of them.
Hell of a party. Thank you, the Sexton.
Yeah, what a rager. I'm sorry I missed that.
I am too. You should have come up early.
I had a dinner that night. I couldn't do it.
I can't get it. I know what you're telling me to do, Damon. I fucked up the...
Do you need some help there?
Maybe. Oh,
you got it.
You
like
do it.
An angel's kiss.
To the listeners what you're doing.
There we go.
You were talking over.
Oh my God. I had such a panic attack just now.
Do we have a vessel?
Do you know how long it's been since I've opened a
bottle of wine?
It really has. I don't have any wine. I don't have anything on the bar.
You don't
bar.
Have anything He's, with a cork.
Nope.
He's opening a bottle of wine with a lighter, a cigarette lighter right now.
Oh, and a shoe?
I'm doing it with my shoe. Yeah. You know the shoe method?
I've never tried it. I don't know if I buy it.
Have you ever done it?
I've never tried it.
Like with your flip-flop, you just pop a freaking cork out of the other end?
Have you tried it?
No, I just saber shit.
Yeah, sabering is like legit. I don't know about the
Even if
thing.
It doesn't have bubbles, I'm just like, fuck it. Have I'm going to pull out a sword
well,
and
okay.
cut the top off.
Cut the top off
I don't mean to plug. I don't mean to plug anybody, but I love them both. So you know Jeff Morgenthaler was just on the show recently.
Yeah.
He paired up with Cocktail Kingdom. To, you know, all these guys are making tools. Robert Simonson made the old-fashioned kit, and Dave Wonders has made a bunch of junk with them. But Morgenthaler has a sabering... sword that's coming out from Cocktail Kingdom.
Yeah.
I think it's like 80% useless, but fucking awesome.
Have you seen the Gigger? The like 3 ounce to 1 ounce?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, for making martinis. Wow, this is great. We're all going to drink from one glass because that's all we have in the studio right
family.
Now.
We're a family.
Some of those tools are just fun to have, just so you can say you have them. Like,
if yeah, exactly. Of course.
Just like shop tools. It's like, how often need it? A bearing puller.
I don't even know what that is, but yes.
Yep.
Need one.
But you got one,
the
maybe.
Times you need it, there it is.
There it is, exactly.
Yeah, I've got my Blue Blazer mugs. Use them once a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But when you need them, you're there.
Look what I got.
Like, I'm going to light this whole fucking place on fire.
Turn down the lights. This
throw
is happening.
The fire around.
Yes, turn down the lights. This is happening. This is delightful.
Thank you.
It's very cleansingly dry. Like it goes all across my palate, and then I'm dry.
Yeah, super dry. Yeah.
So the thing about the white and the rosé, and they are like considered like kind of like your sweeter vermouths.
Yeah.
Do you think the term sweet vermouth is like?
I think it's problematic.
That's what killed.
I think it's problematic. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think people think that
they're so fucking dry. This is
it's like
the driest
dry.
White wine I've ever had in my life.
Right.
There's also a lot of astringent things going on in there, including fresh artichoke.
No,
that'll do it.
I 100% think that the terminology of sweet vermouth is misleading and a misnomer. How does that affect you as a person who has to sell this stuff as by the case?
Well,
it affects me having to sell it by the ounce.
Can you
say off dry?
Right. What do you say?
Like off dry. Part of the impetus for the not labeling our vermouth sweet, part of it was that we knew we wanted to make more than one sweet vermouth, so you don't want to have that issue where you have multiple sweet vermouths and one's sweet white. So we name them based on their wine, like I said. I think that when it comes to sweet vermouth, one of the blessings is that there's more sweet vermouth in cocktail culture, in cocktail recipes that people are comfortable with. So I'm introduced as a consumer to sweet vermouth in my Manhattan. So you know it's there already, and you've experienced it. So that's the gateway. That's the end. Do you drink a Manhattan? Do you drink a Negroni?
Yep.
Let's talk about the components of those cocktails.
So last week.
Hashtag, we're going to use that hashtag, a lot. Like, I feel good about it.
Hashtag yeah. So last
every
week.
Time we say that, we should take a shot of vermouth.
Wow.
Done. Actually, no.
Do we have to retrofit it for all the times we've already said it?
Yeah, yeah. This is right.
To roll the tape back?
Yeah.
if you don't mind. If you don't mind. yeah, so wait, what was the question? Sweet vermouth. Because people think they don't like sweet things. In the same way that people think they like dry martinis. I mean, if you want to drink a glass of gin, more power to you. You've had a rough day, a rough life. I get it. But, you know, the perception is something that needs to be discussed. Everything that we make, capital line, every last bottling that we do is a conversation. So I think that people think they don't like sweet things, but I think that it's easy to introduce people to a sweet vermouth when you give them a barometer.
Sure.
Do you like a Manhattan? Do you drink X cocktail?
You know,
here's one of the components of that cocktail. Why don't you try it on its own?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of trying something on its own, isn't it funny how, like, you just said that, like, having a glass of gin is kind of weird. It's the like, and I'm not saying this because I'm actually a brand ambassador for a gin company. It's like the only liquid out there that, like, it's kind of taboo to drink on its own. But we're just talking about people, like, if you were drinking a glass of gin, like, on the rocks, you're like, it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
But
those martini guys who don't want any vermouth,
they're basically doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
It is crazy. I have a couple of semi-regulars at Amore Margo who roll in and they drink pink gin.
So I would say that...
Which is just gin and bitters on ice.
Yeah.
I love pink gin.
Yeah,
and I actually, I do drink gin neat. You know who else does? Eric Job. Yeah. Hey, Jobby.
Hey.
We sit around oftentimes and drink beef
cold
eater.
Gin. Just warm, neat, really neat, truly out of the bottle.
That's a weird cultural thing. It's like, yeah. You might, I would love to see the stats on this, but like, you might say that straight gin is probably one of the most popular cocktails, or one of the most popular drinks, yeah. rather. In our culture, and right. It's because of people drinking dry martinis,
yeah.
Martinis with effectively no vermouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I just thought about that.
Yeah. Let's explore that. That's unique. You're right. Wow. You're totally right.
That's fucked up.
It is.
Where's that bomb sound?
Yeah. I love the wind afterwards.
It's so good. Can you send me that PDF, whatever file that is? I feel like I need to have that at the ready.
Yes. That had to be your text message.
You're walking around.
You to be my, like,
every time somebody texts you.
That's got to be my ringtone. Yeah.
And that like, long, too, where it's like a good 10 seconds long.
I'll do that with, like, my business partner
afterward.
Like, every time my business partner texts me, he's like,
ignore, delete.
I'm kidding, y'all.
No, of course.
So, how are.
Anyway, vermouth.
Yeah, anyway, back to vermouth and aperitivo.
How are things going? You've been doing this now how long as a company?
We launched in 15. June of 15.
So 3 years. Oh, yes, you said that.
You know, it takes time before
that. 3 weeks next year.
Three years next week. Yep, the other side of that. Exactly. So professionally for three and some years. And I know for a fact that people have a higher level of appreciation, are really into this sort of thing. I can't say exactly where it stems from. I think, you know, everything craft, local, independent small businesses is much more appealing to people than I think ever now than it has been historically, and there's more people doing it.
Oh, I agree.
I can also speak to DC distiller, maker, and brewers, and that we have a very strong, growing, pretty kick-ass community happening. So in DC, people are super interested. I mean, DC is the town of politics and power, right? And a lot of the people that I sell my product to are linked to that, you know, to the government, and those are the jobs they're doing. They're lawyers, they're lobbyists. So they're not industry people. You know, cocktail geekdom is, you guys can attest to this at its highest level. People are really into what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So selling vermouth 3 years ago versus today. Today, people are much more open to it. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible thing. Yeah.
I love that you're at the farmer's market. I think that's such a great place to be for a vermouth.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Exactly.
Specifically for this. Yeah.
It's things that came out of the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. It's agriculture.
And we made them into this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What stand are you next to? Are you next to like
we're next
the hot apple cider stand? What do you got?
So we're next to the Fresh Farm Markets DCs is who runs the market that we're in, and we're next to them. And then to my right is a cultivated mushroom dude. Right yeah. across from me right is like my good friend Thor.
What's in that cooler in the back, buddy?
A brewery.
I want to see what's in the back cooler.
Show
there.
Me the good mushrooms, right? The ones that smell weird. So then across from me is my good friend Thor, Right Proper Brewery in DC. So we're selling beer. Thor, yes.
Nice.
Thor, he's a NASCAR fan. He's a great guy.
NASCAR.
Super into NASCAR. Yeah. Great guy. So yeah, so there's other distilleries and makers that are selling at the market too. It's pretty great.
That is great. Are all of you guys planted sort of towards the entrance so everybody can get a drink and walk around?
You know, we unfortunately can't sell cocktails. You can taste everything at the table.
But, can I get a 10-ounce taster glass? Yeah. Or 10 of those 1-ounce taster glasses?
Let me know when. Unfortunately, you can't walk away with the drink, so we're not quite New Orleans yet, but right. It is still D.C. after all.
Fine.
Yeah.
Talk to us about... how people can find you and get in touch. Where are you? You're not just in DC.
We're in DC and Maryland, Delaware, South Carolina, Tennessee, working on other markets, working in California and New York currently.
Yeah.
So we're
get some of that like bootleg shit.
You can get some of that bootleg. It's on your table in front of you, dude.
Yeah! Also, right anything there. We can do to help you get into, are you looking totally. For a distributorship up here? Or?
Yeah.
We got connections.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank
you. Tamar, are you listening?
Hey, Tamar, I don't know you, but can I get to know you?
He's at Bowler Wine.
Awesome.
But he runs their spirits. So he started their spirits, but they're a wine distributor up here. So I'm sure they'd be interested in it. He loves small, crafty stuff. In fact, he's made it his mission to sort of try and take down the evil empire that is, Southern and Empire.
Yeah. Is that Tomar's Tonic?
That's Tomar of Tomar's Tonic.
Yeah. I got my uncle hooked on that. He orders it to Delaware now all the time.
Amazing.
See, you owe us one, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I would love to talk to Tamar. Yeah, so we're working on finding distributors, right, in other markets. And New York is super tough. We're very small. We're very craft, and our margins are very, very tight.
Of course.
We can't necessarily compete, nor will we ever compete with larger brands. I mean, it's just that's not what we're here to do. We're just kind of trying to make tasty things that people get pleasure out of. But any help that anybody could offer, of course.
What about the listener? How can they find you? Where are you at on social and where are you at on your website?
Yeah, so our website is capitalinevermouth.com. We try to keep it pretty current with events and things like that. If you're in the DC area, I'd love to see you. You can email me at any time for anything. It's cat@newcolumbiadistillers.com.
Cat with a K.
With a K, yep, sorry. I should say we make our products at New Columbia Distillers in D.C. They make Green Hat Gin, so we're all a family together. Yeah, yeah. So that's where we make everything that we do.
Gin and vermouth.
Weird.
What a weird concept.
And Italian-style bitter. Wacky, wacky.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Build your own so last week.
I this has been great talking to you. I love talking about vermouth. We love talking about vermouth.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
It's really nice
love
meeting
drinking
you.
It, too.
And, and thanks for making some Americanos for us.
My pleasure.
The Tiber, right?
Yep, the Tiber.
Yeah, this one is, I'm just looking at it. I mean, like, not just the label, but the actual,
it's exactly. Mesmerizing.
It is, it really is. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Are you using the Beatles in there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's legit.
Beetlejuice.
You're one of the last, right?
Yeah, one of the last.
It's like you and Leopold, there's, right?
Yep, not a lot of people doing it
times?
Anymore.
That's three times.
Yeah.
We go in there.
The Beetlejuice.
We're there.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Cochineal Beetles for coloring. Do you have a social media that we should follow?
Yeah, social media on Insta. It is Capitaline Vermouth and Aperitivi. Geez, I know I have Twitter. I'm not great at the Twitter.
I don't know if you want to broadcast your personal Instagram, but I just want to say I love your handle.
Oh, thank you very much. I sure will. It's you could check me out at Ziggy Cat Dust on Instagram. So yeah, give a holler. Amazing. if you want to talk about product, I'm happy to always talk about what we do and taste anybody on anything that they might like. Hopefully coming to a bar shelf and a liquor store in New York.
Well, you'll be able to find at least maybe these bottles on the bar at Grand Army and Amore Margo.
Heck yeah.
So come check it out.
Come
there.
Have cocktails.
Let's just come drink the vermouth. How about that?
Yes, please.
Well, it's really been great having you on.
It's
looking
been a
forward,
blast.
Looking forward to coming down to the farmer's market in DC and seeing you there.
Yeah.
We're just going to be walking around with go cups.
Yeah,
we'll, I mean, what? Or we won't. Yeah.
No. Do your thing.
Not that anyone knows. We'll do our own thing.
I have a clean canteen full of.
There you go.
Listen, the Caps just won the Stanley Cup, and the farmers market is spitting distance from the stadium. So I feel like you could get away with a lot of public drunkenness currently in D.C.
I'll get one of those little, you know, sheep bags.
That'll work.
And it's right in front of the Portrait Museum, which is one of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That doesn't involve food and alcohol.
We're overdue for a trip to D.C.
Come on down anytime.
Anyone who would like to pay us to go to D.C., please chime in.
Happy to host
Jack
you.
Jack Inslee, clear your couch.
Yes. Oh, that's
Exactly. Jackson, coming for you.
All right, upcoming shows include, but are not limited to, Julie Reiner is going to be on the show. And I'm going to be at Clover Club tonight, bartending. So hopefully she'll be there. I don't know if she's got other things to do for BCB.
Hey,
but
do you know how to get to my neighborhood? Have you ever been there before?
I've been down there, yeah.
All right, cool.
You can swing over to Grand Army after.
Just making sure.
Matt Curry from New York Cocktail Expo. Jesse Scheidler, the guy who runs, what do you call it there, Threesome Toll Booth.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to this Saturday because I was like, if you're going to be on the show, I need to come to your thing. A very interesting fellow.
Is it an extra seat for me?
There's only two seats.
Right.
We got Ben Rojo scheduled to come on. We got
Ben Rojo.
Yeah, from the new Washington bar at the Freehand Hotel. Mm-hmm. We got Lauren Myerscough is coming up. She's going to bring us some syrups from her company, Cocktail and Sons. Yeah, we got a lot of great stuff happening.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's a really busy time of year.
Also, I want to put this out there so that it's out there. Last night, I was hanging out at... PDT, as I mentioned, with Jim Meehan. And I pulled him to the side just for a second to say hello. And he said to me, I said, how are things going? He goes, well, it's a real up and down world because of, we won some awards right after we closed Prairie School.
Yeah.
And I said to him, look, man, closing bars is hard. I've closed a couple. Maybe we should get on the air and have Damon interview us and talk about what it means to close a bar. I'm curious if anyone would be interested in hearing that. And his eyes lit up and he was totally about it. So maybe we'll do a show where you interview Jim and I about what it means to close.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a hard and gut-wrenching thing,
yeah.
But it happens. And maybe we should talk about it more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there's...
Find a couple other folks who've had to close too.
And, yeah, I was going like to say...
But you know, it's a weird thing. It's like, even when the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oh my God, I'm just asking Jim to talk about a failure.
No,
but his eyes lit up. And I'm curious who else might want to talk about it.
Honestly, we were talking about this before the show. The reason why I started this show 8 years ago is because we need to talk about certain things and we need to bring it to light. I mean, shit, when Leif and like the crew from Donna...
Had the fire and everything?
And the whole like Black Crescent
mm-hmm. Another
crew,
fire, yep.
You know, Reynolds and everyone, they had their fire. They both had fires that took their bars down. Not that they like shuttered for good, but
that was
like,
some hard shit.
That's some fucking hard shit to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to talk about any... We celebrate all of our victories here, you know.
And we don't really talk about our failures.
But we need to talk more about like the failures.
Our losses, yeah.
And yeah, definitely. We should definitely have Jim come on the show and talk about it.
So there you go, Jim. I put it out to the world. It's going to happen now.
Yeah.
So
you're on the spot now.
Also, by the way, I spoke to AK last night as well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get her and Belle on the show together.
Great.
So that they can talk about what it's like to run PDT, both here and in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she got swept over there unexpectedly. Do you know how that happened?
Yep.
So Adam Schmidt, who was heading the bar program over there with Jeff, broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And Jeff called AK and said to her, what do you have planned for the next 3 weeks other than work? And she said, nothing. And he goes, this is the best part. We've already booked your flight for tomorrow at noon.
Get your passport.
You're coming to Hong Kong. Yep. So she had to jump over there and get PDT Hong Kong started because Schmidt broke his ankle right at the wrong time. But no good time, but like, yeah.
Amazing.
So great stories to be had there. So she's agreed for him, but we got to figure out a time when they're both in town at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
And get them on the show.
Well, you know what? We talked about some kind of dark shit just now, but
all right. You know what?
Now let's go back to celebrating some really good shit.
Yeah.
Kat, thank you so much for being on the show today and
for
bringing
me.
Your great products in. And we're gonna. I mean, I'm no stranger to having illegal products behind my bar, so
nor am I. So if you're leaving these bottles with us, they're gonna
all yours.
They're not gonna stay here on the Speakeasy bar because they're vermouth and there's no refrigeration here for them. So we're gonna take them to our bars and we'll pour them on people.
Yeah, I would love that.
We'll pour them all over them.
All over them. That's fine. That's fine. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right. That's it. I think we got it. This was a fucking great show. I love talking DC. I always love talking about DC.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And I always love talking about vermouth. And you're such a great person to talk with. And it's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cheers. Appreciate it. Cheers.
That's
Cheers.
It for the Speakeasy this week. Check out more programs like this one on heritageradionetwork.org. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station and keep us keeping on. Until next week. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys.
Negronis.
Cheers.
So last week.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.